Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Well, you have tuned in to another live show. You have tuned in to QLJNradio.com, the final authority. Well, the final authority air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, unless otherwise indicated. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to go right into prayer, and then we'll give you some information about the number to call in case you have a question or you have a comment or express a different view other than the host. And so we'll get right into it because we're going to try to close out on part three, and we'll share it with you momentarily. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. Acknowledge you as the living true God, most high God, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. Father, we confess in the Lordship of Christ, your beloved, unique Son, whom you sent into the earth realm to be the Savior and Redeemer of mankind. We look to you, Father, as the one who loves us, who have chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We thank you, O God, for this time together in fellowship in the Word. Your Word is the final authority, and we accept that Christ Jesus is Lord of all. And Lord, we thank you because he has redeemed us to you by his blood, robed us in his righteousness, and thus you have accepted us in Christ Jesus, having declared us righteous for time and eternity. And we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory for bestowing upon us an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness through the one person, Christ Jesus. And we rest in the finished work of Christ. We ask, O God, you would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word, Father, in the knowledge of your beloved, unique Son. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory. In the holy, majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. So be it, and amen. Okay, so we're going to be closing out today on part three on Can One Be Saved Apart from Christ? And we dealt with that in detail. We'll do a little bit of review. We're going to deal with more a little bit about what about those who never heard the gospel, those who have died or who have never heard the name Jesus or the name Christ or about salvation. What happened to them? All right, we'll deal with that today in a little bit of detail today. Okay, so if you have a question or a comment, please call the area code 515-605-9768. The number to call if you have a question or a comment would be, the area code is 515-605-9768. After you dial the number and you are connected, then press the number 1 on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my line, to my live show, and I will welcome you to the final authority. Okay? Also want to mention this, that if, in fact, you have a desire to give a donation for the support of the final authority and the sound teaching of what you are receiving, please feel free just to go to www.qljnradio.com. And scroll down and press final authority. And whenever you make a donation, if you choose to, you can donate and be sure to earmark it saying this donation is for the final authority. I do want to be very clear that we don't plead or beg anyone or try to persuade anyone for any financial support. I was asked a question before about how can I give. So, to support, you know, the final authority. So I decided to mention it, okay? So I'll mention it, you know, on every broadcast if you want to. You know, there's no special blessing I'm promising and say you're going to get a car on the hill and a bigger house and a bigger bank account because you give to this ministry. No, we're committed to glorifying Christ. The teachings of the Word of God is totally free of charge. We don't sell the gospel, and we don't make merchandise of people. This is a free message from God through the Holy Scriptures, and I am a servant committed to doing the will of God from the heart. Okay? All right. So, let's get right into our lesson. So, can one be saved apart from Christ? All right, so we share with you the biblical perspective. We're not attacking anyone who may differ. We're not demeaning anyone who may differ. But we're giving the biblical account based upon what we have in what is known the written Word of God. And we believe that the Word of God is God's authoritative word for us, and we must hold fast to what God has said without compromise. We went over a number of passages, and one of them is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, all right, which says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now, there's one God and one mediator between whom? God and the human race. Now, there's not two mediators. It's not three. It's not four. It's only one. And the one mediator who stands between God and men very clearly states the man Christ Jesus. And the word Christ means anointed one, and Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, means savior, God who saves. So the one that stands between God and man is the God-man, Jesus Christ. He's the one and only mediator that can reconcile you to God, all right? So the one and only way by which man can have a union with God and be reunited in a peace relationship with God, the Father, is only through the person of his beloved Son, the one mediator, Jesus Christ. We also had went over in St. John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus clearly made a statement. And the statement says, I quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," unquote. Those are the words of Yeshua, the Messiah. Jesus, the unique Son of God. He says, "I am the way," not a way, the way, which excludes anyone else from being the way, the truth, the life. So he is the way, the truth, and the life personified. You want to know the way to God? It's through Jesus. It's not through your church or your religion, through your bishop, your pope, or your evangelist. It's through the person of God's beloved Son. Why? It was Jesus Christ was the one and only person who came down from heaven itself, tabernacled himself in the human body, and willingly laid his life down for you and I. You see, man, we all sinned against God. And the law of God says we are guilty, thus we are offenders, thus we are to be sentenced to death. All right? That is alienation and separation from God. But Jesus Christ came and took our place, took the wrath for you and I, and he satisfied the judgment of God for you and I. And thus, he offered himself once and for all, and he's the one and only person to obtain eternal redemption for you and I. And the Father God raised him up from among the dead and then raised him up to heaven and set him, Christ, at his own right hand. So Jesus is the one and only way. There is no other way to God the Father. So apart from Christ, you cannot be saved. All right? Now, you may have your feelings. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, I'm not dealing with your feelings. I'm dealing with truth. Truth, it trumps your feelings. It trumps your church or your bishop or your pope or your evangelist or your apostolic prophets or whatever. All right. The Word of God is the final authority, not me. It trumps me. I submit to the authority of the Word of God. So Jesus Christ, according to the authority and revelation of the Holy Scriptures, is the absolute one and only way to the Father. All right. Now, also, I will throw this in real quickly. Jesus Christ is called eternal life in 1 John chapter 1. And he says that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He is eternal life. Eternal life came from heaven itself and tabernacled in human form. He is eternal life personified. And apart from Jesus Christ, apart from coming to faith and trust and experiencing a spiritual union with Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life, because he's the one and only eternal life that God offers. Wow, it's only through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So we see that your faith must be rested solely and exclusively upon the person of Jesus Christ. One of the verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, so you're saved by faith in Christ. So when we read the context, faith has an object. The object is Jesus Christ and all that he has done by way of his death on the cross. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. You got to go back to chapter 1, verse 7, that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And he says in verse 13 that you heard the word of truth, the good news of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you heard the true gospel. So as far as you who have heard the person of Jesus Christ, and if you reject God's offer of salvation through faith in Christ, that is trusting solely Christ Jesus and all that he has done for you on the cross through his death for your sins, the shedding of his blood, for the forgiveness of your sins, his burial and his resurrection from among the dead, apart from faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. And we share with you what does it mean to be saved, delivered from the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. It includes what is called regeneration, which is a work of the Spirit whereby you are born again. It includes the fact that you are reconciled to God, that you are sealed by the Spirit as God's very own, that you have peace with God, you're given everlasting life, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is what it means to be saved. All right? So, I'm not saved just because I go to church. I'm not saved just because I read the Bible. And I'm not saved just because I stand a prayer or say prayers. I'm not saved because I do good works. See, I do all those things I mentioned, but my salvation is not based upon any of that. My salvation, being saved, is solely contingent upon all that Jesus Christ done for me on the cross. And apart from Christ, I cannot be saved. Okay? You cannot be saved. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, apart from the biblical Messiah, the unique Son of God, apart from him, there is no salvation in no other name and in no other person at all, only in God's beloved unique Son, Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. You need to know the true gospel. And see, when you come to the light of Christ, you are accountable for what you do with the person of God's beloved Son. Once you come to that light, we'll deal with that probably a little more about that a little bit later. Now, what about those who have never heard the gospel? Just what about that? How will God deal with them? Are they lost? Will they be condemned? Well, we're going to see what the Word of God says. Now, I'm not interested in your personal opinion. It's not about my opinion or any church opinion or denomination or religious institution. The Word of God is the final authority on the subject matter. Therefore, we let the Word speak. So we're going to hear the testimony of Scripture. Okay, so let's deal with Romans chapter 1 real quickly. We're going to do a lot of reading today. We'll be closing out. Now, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about the gospel of Christ, verse 16. It says about how God's righteousness is revealed, and that's through the proclamation of the gospel. So it gets to verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There are some people that know the truth and the reality of God. They know that God is real, but they suppress it because they choose to go against what God has revealed to them, made clear to them. It says they hold the truth. The word hold means to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest or clear in them, for God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, a person may not even heard the name Jesus or heard about salvation, but just by virtue of creation, that the design of creation is not just by chance. This is all by divine design. The fingerprint of God is all over creation. Looking at the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, looking at the mountains and the hills, and looking at the seas, and looking at the sea creatures, and just looking at all this thing, the heavens and the earth, you know there's a supreme being. Someone might say creator. Somebody might say an architect, a divine architect. Someone else might say a higher power. But on the inside, they know that there is God. And then you have a sense, well, what is God like? The sun, the moon, the stars, and God must be wise. He must be everywhere at one and the same time. He must be all-knowing and all-powerful. So they have a sense of the reality of God. But there are some people who will suppress that. And they'll deny God, and they'll go against the laws that God put in their hearts. And you're going to see, because that which may be known of God is manifest or clear in them, for God showed it unto them. Then verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. When they knew God, they knew there's a creator. There's a higher being, a supreme being, a creator. But yet, they did not glorify him. They didn't honor him in their heart. Neither were they thankful or appreciative, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 21. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what it says here. So they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, and they chose to go against what God had made clear to them. And so they went against God. So then now, it goes on and says, let me go on down to verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inappropriate, are not convenient, it says in the King James Version. They don't retain God. Why? They suppress that. They don't want to acknowledge the reality of God. But on the inside, down in them, they suppress it. They suppress it. And as they suppress it, and they suppress the light that God's given them, their heart is just darkened. That's what the scripture says. So the scripture is the fact. So we see here, God has revealed it to them. He made it clear to them, right in them. And so God says, okay, you want to go your own way? God let you go your own way. And so it goes on and says, verse chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou inexcusable, O man, therefore you are inexcusable, O man. Inexcusable. That means you don't have no defense. You stand before God in judgment. You will have absolutely no excuse for your going against what God had clearly revealed and shown you in your heart that you suppress and choose to deny the reality of God and deny what God has shown you. You may not have heard about Jesus Christ. You have rejected what light God gave you because your deeds were evil, your foolish heart is darkened, and you're going to stand before God, and you're not going to have any excuse. So I never heard about Jesus. Okay, you may not have. But if you reject what light God gave you, man, you are in trouble. Let me show you something in chapter 2, Romans chapter 2. Verse 11, for there is no respecter of persons with God. All right? God doesn't make any type of wrong judgment. He doesn't exalt one person over another person at all when it comes to his law. He honors his law. He honors his way. There is no respecter of persons with God. God's not going to look and say, oh, you got a lot of money. You know what? Wow, you're a great celebrity. Oh, you're so famous. That doesn't matter with God at all. God's going to judge you and deal with you based upon what light he has revealed to you and what he knows that you know that he revealed to you that you have chosen to suppress. There is no respect of a person with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So God's no respect of persons. He's not going to judge you by the law if you don't have no knowledge of his law at all. All right? And so a person that knows the law of God, wow, they're held accountable. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law should be justified. But watch this, though. Here's another revelation, further revelation. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they didn't have the outward Mosaic law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, these Gentiles don't have the law, are a law unto themselves. So it just in down within that nature, there's something that tells you something right from wrong. Don't you know that that's the law of God that's written in your heart? And God's holds you accountable for that inward law. You may not have had the outward law of Moses, all right, but you may have had the inward law that God has put in there. All right? Now watch this. For when the Gentiles which have not the law, I'm in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Wow. See, because on the inside, there's something that tells you about something's wrong. Oh, this is the right thing to do. So God would judge you on that basis. So verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This is Paul saying. Paul took that gospel personally. This is my gospel. This is my good news. He took it personally and he spread that good news. But it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. See, God knows your heart. God knows what's down in the secret depths of your heart. He knows whether or not you're suppressing the truth. He knows that. And he's going to hold you accountable. So you won't have no defense. So if you're standing before God, say, I never heard of Jesus. I never heard of Christ. I never heard the gospel. All right. Did you go against the law that I put in your heart? Did you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, the truth of who I am and the truth of what I put revealed to you? Therefore, you are inexcusable, man. You have no defense before God, and God must judge you on that basis of what you knew. All right? So that's another thing you have to take into consideration. All right? Now, let me take you over to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, real quick. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. And see, I want the scriptures to speak and give the testimony. Because people have their own thoughts and feelings. Because I have views about, what about those who never heard about Christ and never heard the gospel? When I was younger, I would say, they're lost, they're gone. Oh, they're doomed. Well, I couldn't say that now after I have a more mature understanding of searching the scriptures out. There's some things I assumed and also based upon some things I heard, but no one showed me scripture. But now that I have searched the scriptures, I'm like, well, the truth is they may not have heard Christ, but if they receive the light that God gave them, hey, they embrace that light. Well, God will deal with them on that light. But everything that God does is just right and holy. All right, he'll never make a wrong judgment, and everything he does is going to be just perfectly right. God will always do right. Okay, every one of his judgments is pure, is holy, It's just, it's right, it's perfect. Never an unjust judgment. Never an unfair judgment. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, okay, so let's look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. I'm going to start reading at verse 16. All right? Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and he saw the whole city given over to idolatry. Therefore, he disputed with them in the synagogue of the Jews and with devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. These were philosophers. And some said, "What will this babbler Paul say?" Some said, "He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus the resurrection." They thought that was strange. They didn't know anything about Jesus and the resurrection, but they were philosophers. They loved to have open debates and discussions and come up with new things. And Paul came and began to preach the life and ministry of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, and about the death of Christ, the birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they took Paul and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is? What is this new doctrine that you speak of, Paul? For you bring certain strange things into our ears, and we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So all these Athenians, these Stoics and philosophers, the Epicureans, they just really want to come and just hear, make up stuff, hear stuff, and just sound good, sound intelligent, and are very articulate. Then Paul stood in the midst of them. So they asked Paul, so Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said this, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. As I passed by, I beheld your devotion. I saw those things that you had, your devotional notes, and I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth life to all and breath in all things, and has made of one of blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." Wow, God determined the time you should be born and where you should be born and where you would live. Why is it heavy? That they should seek. God did all that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. See, God has set this up so that you can even know him, that you would seek him. God did that. So you are without excuse. For in him, like what she says, "For in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said." Now, Paul's quoting one of their poets. "We are also of his offspring. So as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's hand. And the times of this ignorance God winked at." God overlooked that. God saw that you was ignorant. "But now command all men everywhere to repent." Wow. Now God commands you to repent. Right, because you came to the light now. Paul and preached unto them the life and ministry of Jesus and the resurrection. Now you held accountable to a higher standard. God is not winking at your ignorance now, because you now have been informed on the gospel. God had winked at, "But now command all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Well, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned in to the final authority. We'll finish up here at my point in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Thank you for tuning in to the final authority. I will see you after a break.
Now y'all know the devil be tripping, right? So I had to write a song to put him back in his place. Check it out. Anybody feel like me out there? Listen. Sometimes you gotta tell them just like that. Check it out.
You tried to steal my joy. You tried to steal my peace. I'm tired, I'm crying. Always feeling weak. I take two steps forward. You push me four steps back. I'm so sick of you lying about this and that. From this day forward, some things are gonna change.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Well, we're back live. The final authority. Again, we'll share the number with you in case you have a question or a comment. Please feel free to call for your question or comment, area code 515-605-9768. 515-605-9768. And after you are connected, press the number one on your phone, and my producer will connect you to the final authority. Okay. All right. So we was leaving off in Acts of the Apostles chapter 17, and I'll go back and I'll read verse 30, back up a little bit. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. All right, so God will take consideration of a person's ignorance. In other words, who don't really know. But once God gives light, God holds you accountable. He's not winking at the light you have now. He would wink at your ear. In other words, he's going to overlook something. Or he'll close an eye to that, if you allow me to say it in that term, speaking what is called anthropomorphic language, using terms in which God understands that we can relate to. So Paul used the term at this time, at the times of this ignorance, the times when men were ignorant of what Paul had preached and they didn't know. God winked at it, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Did you not know that God commands you to repent once you come to more light, to embrace what light he's given you, that you got to repent and embrace that light and walk in that light? Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness. There's not going to be any unrighteous judgment. There's going to be a righteous judgment. By that man, he's going to do it through the person of Jesus Christ, whom we have ordained, will have given assurance to all men in that he has raised him, Jesus, from the dead. So we're dealing with the historicity of the actual physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. So Paul had went and preached to them, and he told the people in Athens, you two superstitious. You know, all, you're philosophizing, okay, you're coming together with all these debates, all right? You got all these different beliefs that's coming up that y'all sharing. Well, I'm going to share something with y'all. God was the one that made the heaven and the earth. He's the supreme being. He's the creator. He made all this. He made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and he determined the time before appointed and the bounds of it. God has determined the bounds of your habitation that you should seek him. Why? Because God's going to unveil himself to you and make it clear to you that he's real, that you might seek after him. He's not far from you. He's near you. And so Paul says here that at this time, okay, you had some ignorance at a point in time that you were ignorant, but now that I brought this message to you, God's not winking at anything now. He commands you to repent. Man, that's very powerful. In light of that, let me share something with you what Jesus said as recorded by John. Turn me to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. This is a very powerful text here. Very powerful. Chapter 15, verse 22. Jesus speaking, he says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak or covering for their sin. Wow. He came and he spoke to them. Christ, when Christ came on the scene, he brought so much light. He's the true light. And he brought light. Not only did he preach and not only did he teach, but there's an overwhelming evidence of miracles and signs to identify that he is the Messiah of whom the prophets had foretold that would come, who would bring salvation and redemption. All right, and here Christ says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. So now that he has come, they have no cloak for their sin. What? They then have to come to faith and trust in him, and for them to reject him and to despise him, oh, they have no cloak for their sin now. He that hates me hates my Father also. This is Jesus saying, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. So here, there was an overwhelming evidence to substantiate that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the unique begotten Son of God. He came down from heaven. He was born of a virgin by the power of the Spirit, took upon human flesh, and walked the earth in perfect obedience to the Father. And the Father gave affirmation to the identity of his son by speaking from heaven and by a substantial number of miracles upon miracles, wonders upon wonders, and signs upon signs to substantiate that this is the Messiah, my son. So here, now, they hated Jesus. He went, and so many of these religious leaders hated him. And so he said, you hate me, you hate my father. All right, the works that I do in my father's name. The works that I do, they bear witness of me. And they rejected that life. So now it is a sin of rejection here. They have no covering for this sin. Now they're held accountable. So a person that comes to the life of the Messiah, not just hearing about the name Jesus, hearing the name, but hearing the name, yes, that's fine. But hearing, what about that name? Who is this person called Jesus? What did he do? So they're hearing the gospel, hearing the actual documented account of the fact that he pre-existed with the Father, that he was born of a virgin, conceived by the power of the Spirit, that he walked the earth in perfect obedience to the Father, that he was without sin, and that ultimately he was nailed to a cross and lived on that cross and had all of our sins placed upon him and was judged for our sins, and he satisfied the judgment of God for us. Thus, he died for our sins, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again from among the dead, and is alive forevermore. And understanding now that salvation is only through faith in Christ Jesus, that I can now be forgiven of all my sins and washed from all my sins and robed in the righteousness of Christ and come into a peace relationship with Almighty God through a union with Jesus Christ, for me to reject God's offer of salvation through Christ, I'm accountable. You can't say you're ignorant now at all. See, so Christ has come, and we proclaim that Christ to you, you are accountable. But now I'm going to share something with you. This is pretty heavy. I meant to go to this verse earlier, but here it is anyway. James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So even a person down in their heart, even if they didn't know Christ, down in their heart, they know whether they're doing something that's good or sinful, that's wrong. So to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So God will hold you accountable to that. So if you just done good and walking with light God gave you, and then God brings the light of Christ, you will be readily acceptance of the light that God gives you. But Jesus came, and many men, they rejected him because Jesus said, that was something. In fact, I'm gonna have you turn with me to St. John chapter 3. And we're going to read. This is very powerful. We should check this out. So in verse 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, as Jesus Christ. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, unless his deeds are reproved or exposed or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. See, if in your heart you're doing the truth from your heart and walking in the light that God gave you, man, are you doing truth? Man, when the true light comes in fullness, man, you will come to that light. This is what Jesus is saying right here. And so whatever light you have, once you come to the light of Christ, you are held accountable for what you do with Jesus. He is the absolute only way to God. So apart from Christ, a person who may not have ever heard, God will deal with them differently than he will deal with you, because you heard about the offer of God's salvation through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. You heard the good news about what Jesus Christ has done. And I will share with this world as much as I possibly can the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the unique Son of God. He's the one that offered up himself willingly for you in your place, for all of your sins. He was nailed to a cross. He was lifted up on the cross, and he had all your sins placed upon him. All the sins that you have ever committed, all the things you have ever done in your life, Jesus literally died for all of your sins, every one of them. All his blood was poured out from his body for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you. His death was a substitutionary, redemptive death for you, substitutionary in your place, sacrificial. He sacrificed his life for you. Redemptive is the only death that brought redemption to you. He was buried, and he literally rose again from among the dead. Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take you real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quickly here. I love this passage. Very powerful passage. 1 Corinthians, Paul had went to Corinth, and he shared the gospel of Christ with the people in Corinth. Corinth was a city. They had so much stuff going on in that city. Man, it was really bad. Everything went down, and even in Rome, it was bad. Ephesus had some bad stuff going on. All these cities had some bad stuff going on. But Corinth, out of all the letters Paul wrote, he spent more time writing more to the Corinthians than any other church he ever wrote to. But he says to them, I want you to hear this. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Now Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. So what he's doing, he's writing a letter. He's declaring the gospel in a letter. And the gospel that he's declaring in a written letter, he had declared that to them verbally. And the same message that he had already preached to them, he is writing it, saying, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he had already preached it to them. So they were all aware of the gospel. So they were held accountable. He says, which you have received. They received it. Wherein you stand. So that's the gospel that you received. That's the gospel that you have took a stand on. Okay? By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So it says, that's the gospel on which you are saved. You are saved by that gospel. So they came to the knowledge of the good news of what Christ has done for them. So Paul says, that gospel is the gospel which you are saved by. Which you're not saved because you went to church and you've done some good deeds, or you said some Hail Marys and done some rosary beads and done some penance. According to the Bible, you're saved by truly believing the gospel, resting your faith solely upon Jesus Christ, by which also you are saved. Watch what he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Because of the limited time I have on the rest of the show, I won't have time to go into the depths of that part when it says, unless you have believed in vain. He's dealing with the fact that there was a doctrine that began to creep in the church of Corinth about there was no resurrection. And so if there's no resurrection, then that means Christ didn't rise. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we've been preaching a false message. And if we preach a false message, you ain't really saved. All right? This is But he then goes on later in that same chapter and given some substantial evidences and witnesses of the historicity of the actual resurrection of Christ from among the dead. So anyway, he says, now, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So he said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. What is he saying? Well, you can't deliver what you never received. A mailman can't deliver mail to you if he never received mail to deliver. He had to receive it first before he can deliver it. And the gospel that Paul preached, he received it from Christ. Christ from heaven taught Paul the gospel. That gospel that Christ taught Paul from heaven, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, that's the same gospel that Paul preached to all of the Gentiles and even among the Jews. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins." It wasn't just the fact that he died. He did. But he died for a purpose, and that was for our sins. Not for his sins, because he never had no sins for him to die of, because he was sinless. Our sins, we sinned against God. We were the offenders. And so the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so he was condemned to death because our sins was placed upon him, and in our place, he was judged for us. So he died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So he's dealing with the actual historicity of the bodily resurrection of Christ from the dead. And then he goes in giving evidence of several people to hundreds of people that seen Christ after he was buried. After the fact that he was crucified and died and was buried, he rose from the dead and appeared to so many people. So he's giving substantial testimony of those who saw him after he rose from the dead. And he himself also was a witness of the actual resurrected, glorified Christ. Okay? So you're saved by believing the gospel, that gospel message that Paul preached. He says in Romans that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God resulting in salvation. The gospel. That gospel must be preached. You must hear the gospel. The gospel of and by itself, apart from you ever hearing it, can't do you any good. You must hear it. Then you must believe it with the heart. Okay? We're talking about it's a conviction of a reality that you come to a true, genuine, authentic faith in that gospel message to experience salvation. With that said, I'm going to take you to the book of Romans chapter 10. So in chapter 10, it goes on and says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him, on Christ, shall not be ashamed, that is disappointed. You believe on him, you will experience salvation. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So God doesn't look a difference between Jew and Gentile in our time now, because God sees all under sin. And Christ died for all. And so now whoever believes on him, that is to adhere to, trust in, and rely on Christ for their salvation, man, they will not be disappointed. Why? Because they will be accepted by God and be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, Jew, Gentile, whoever you are, black, white, Asian, Indian, Hispanic, Latino, whatever, whoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Watch this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So how can a person believe on him and they never heard of him? They never heard of him. God doesn't hold them accountable. Well, why did you not receive my son? It doesn't make sense. He received him. They never heard of him. Who is your son? Okay, but once you heard about the Son of God and who he is and what he's done, then God holds you accountable to that. And God has designed the system, as it were, that it is preached. Okay, it must be preached. You must hear the preaching of the good news about what Christ done for you. All right? So that's what he's talking about. It tells you in verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're dealing with the message of the gospel. So this is how faith comes. So I preach to you the gospel of Christ. You heard the message of the gospel. You may have heard the gospel through others. You are accountable. Have you come to true biblical repentance We share with you that it's God's will that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So once you come into the knowledge and the light of the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done, it's God's will. Now God commands you to repent, to come in faith and trust in his son. God may have overlooked some things in the past, but now that you heard the true gospel and know about Christ, he is not overlooking that. You got to come now to repentance and faith and trust in the biblical Messiah, Yeshua, Greek, Jesus, all right? Arabic, Issa, all right? Hebrew, Yeshua, all right? English, Jesus, the biblical Messiah. Do you trust in Jesus Christ? Have you come to true genuine faith in Christ? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it tells you that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him, Christ, from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, this confession here upon your hearing the true, unadulterated gospel of Christ, you have a conviction in your heart that you are a sinner, and you have a conviction in your heart that you are an offender against God, and that you realize that Jesus Christ took the wrath for you, and he literally had all of your sins placed on him on the cross, and he was judged for your sins and died for your sins and shed his blood for you, was buried and rose again for your justification. He's alive forevermore. He's highly exalted right now, alive at the right hand of the Father in the heavens, and you then come to faith. You confess him as your Lord, that you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The word confess means to come into agreement with. I come into agreement that Jesus is Lord. I come in agreement with the revelation of Scripture through the writings of the witnesses that Jesus Christ died for my sins and shed his blood for me, was buried, and rose again. So if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, he tells you in the book of Romans that he was delivered for your offenses. You as an offender, he rose again for your justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5, verse 1. So we see clearly now that you come to a true genuine confession of faith. This is a spiritual union. It's like a spiritual marriage that you come into a union with Jesus Christ. I do confess you as my Lord and Savior. I do believe on you with my heart. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you was buried and you rose again. The Bible says you shall be saved. Man, I'm saved. I'm delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. I'm washed from all my sins by what Christ done for me through the shedding of his blood. I'm robed in the righteousness of Christ. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have everlasting life. I rest my faith exclusively upon the person of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Have you come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, every Monday, unless otherwise indicated. This is Pastor and Teacher Everett Robinson, Pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, 419 Georgia Street, Suite Number 12. Services on Sunday, 11:30 a.m. On Tuesday nights, we do have prayer from 6 to 6:30 and ministry of the Word, 6:30 to 7:15. We go a little over sometimes. But you're welcome to the ministry of the Will of God Christian Center. If you have a question or comment, you can all also email us at ambassadorer@yahoo.com. ambassadorer@yahoo.com. AMB as in boy, ASSAD as in David, ORER@yahoo.com. And if you do text me or what have you, or email me, I should say, I will respond to your questions and comments. Okay? All right. Well, hold your head up. We will see you next time, every Monday, Final Authority Air Live, QLJN Radio.com. Until then, grace, peace, and many blessings upon you, your heart, your household. See you next week.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.